Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church and our weekly podcast. Today's word from our Sunday sermon. If after listening you have questions or would like to know more, please contact us. This week we're talking about in or out from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 42. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and got ready to eat. When a sinful woman in that town found out that Jesus was there, she brought an expensive bottle of perfume. Then she came and stood behind Jesus. She cried and started washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. The woman kissed his feet and poured the perfume on them. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this and said to himself, "If this man were really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner." Jesus said to the Pharisee, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, what is it?" Simon replied. Jesus told him, "Two people were in debt to a moneylender. One of them owed him 500 silver coins, and the other owed him 50. Since neither of them could pay him back, the moneylender said that they didn't have to pay him anything. Which one of them will like him more?" Simon answered, "I suppose it would be the one who had owed more and didn't have to pay it back." "You are right," Jesus said. He turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Have you noticed this woman? When I came into your home, you didn't give me any water so I could wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't even pour olive oil on my head, but she has poured expensive perfume on my feet. So I tell you that all her sins are forgiven, and that is why she has shown great love. But anyone who has been forgiven for only a little will show only a little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." Some other guests started saying to one another, "Who is this who dares to forgive sins?" But Jesus told the woman, "Because of your faith, you are now saved. May God give you peace." So, we've got it clear. Practicing hospitality is a part of our faith. We are inviting people into a closer relationship with God through Christ by inviting them to come with us and follow Jesus. We do that by going to them, inviting them to come and follow, by baptizing them, and by teaching them all that Jesus taught us. And while doing that, we practice radical hospitality by not only making sure they are comfortable, fed, clothed, and given a place at the table, but we also make sure that we are sharing a caring relationship with them. We listen to them and we invite them to be part of our growing family, both our personal family as well as the family of the church. But today we're reminded again that we are to do something else too. We are to make sure we aren't excluding folks Jesus wants at the table. The curriculum our children and youth are using, and I apologize for forgetting to send the youth last week to the discussion groups, is talking about this and using the word othering. That is, treating some people as outsiders. Sometimes those people are challenged or difficult or seen as this generation's outcasts. They're often chosen by the culture in which one lives, so the outcasts can be different kinds of people in different cultures. Sometimes they're immigrants. I remember a couple of decades back, a friend going to Sweden and being appalled at the way those lovely blonde and blue-eyed Swedes treated the immigrant Turks. In other places, gypsies are treated as lesser people, not invited to the table. And in some places, even other followers of Jesus were excluded, Protestants in Catholic communities and Catholics in Protestant communities, like in Northern Ireland. There's even a story of believers who had come to faith in Jesus in Africa being excluded from churches in the American South because they were Black. Today's story is of Jesus going to dine with a Pharisee named Simon. Now, let that sink in. Already, Jesus is practicing radical hospitality by accepting an invitation to eat with a man who most of us would have thought was Jesus' enemy. Jesus often sparred with the Pharisees and they with him, yet he offered hospitality. Jesus returned the generous offer with a generous acceptance because of what was at stake. Both the Pharisees' time with the Messiah and the relationship that could be built between Jesus and the man. Remember, the relationship building is essential to hospitality. One way we practice exclusion and othering is by not letting others care for us, celebrate us, love on us. We keep others at arm's distance when Jesus' call is to embrace all of God's beloved children. And at that dinner, an excluded one sneaks in to bask in the presence of her Lord and Savior and to worship by offering her tears and by pouring out her heart with the most expensive thing she had in her possession. If only we were that bold in our worship. If only we were willing to pour out in love that which we hold most dear, whether it be time, energy, imagination, talents, family, and even our resources. Yes, our stewardship, our pledges, our envelope filling, our online gifts are, or ought to be, a pouring out of the alabaster jar, a sacrifice of joy that makes clear to us, most importantly, how important our love of Jesus is. It's not supposed to be like paying a bill so that we can come to church. It's rather a statement of faith, just like this woman's, heartfelt and deeply sacrificial. Jesus rejoices when we, like she, come and anoint him with our love. But Simon the Pharisee instead othered her. He didn't see her love, her devotion, her sacrifice, or her bravery. All she saw was that she wasn't on the list of possible guests. She was a sinner and therefore automatically rejected. And the Pharisee didn't see what Jesus saw, that he, that is Simon, was just as much a sinner as she. So Jesus gently pointed it out. You see, he had failed the test of hospitality. While he had invited Jesus to dinner, he hadn't provided a way for Jesus to wash his feet or a servant to do it at the door as was required by hospitality. He hadn't greeted Jesus with a kiss, the sign of peace and kinship, and he had not anointed Jesus an act of kindness after a long day out in the heat. Hospitality, while offered, was truncated. Yes, food and conversation, but evidently no relationship. While the woman offered all the relationship she could. Much like Mary, the sister of Martha we talked about last week, she was in fact closer to the kingdom of God than was Simon or Martha. Jesus saw her not as a sinner, but as a child of the Most High God, a princess, a disciple, a follower, and as such a beloved sister. So the question is, who have we intentionally, or not, othered or excluded or just not included? Who are those in our community, our culture, that we fail to invite, to encourage, or to include? Take off your blinders and see the world as Jesus does, and go and invite all who would come to the feast, family and friends and neighbors and co-workers, and even those our culture says should be excluded. For the table of the Lord is open, and all are invited to come. Amen. So that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you have questions, check us out at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or go to our website, www.otisvillepress.org. Thanks.